بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Around 1975-76 الله رحمة الله عليه had gone to America. On his return, the stars and the students were quite anxious to hear the halat, conditions of the Muslims in that part of the globe. Since he was the first Indian alim visiting that continent, so it was after some majlis. It was in the madrasa. Normally the majlis would be at his home. This was in the masjid. I suppose there were a lot of people that were anxious. The crowd would be huge, but the house would not be able to accommodate. So the majlis was in the masjid. The essence of the talk that I can remember now was it was 75-76 around that time. How many years? 45-46 years. Was that America has excelled in technology. At the press of a button, gate opens. At the press of a button, the stove is switched on. At the press of a button, the machinery all switched on. And then they developed it even more. Now that machinery or computer just responds to your voice. Sometimes you just click your fingers and it responds. So they've gone so forward, so ahead. So in anything and everything, and they have made advancements. If you talk about speed, it's so advanced. Communication 1 second from one part of the globe to the other part of the globe. And so much and so much. But yes, what America has failed to produce is a true human being. There is everything. But what machinery they don't have, the factory that they don't have, is the factory to produce a human being. So that was the essence of the talk. Now, a human being is not just flesh and bones. It's not just complexion and skin. It's something else that makes up a human being. See, what people got to think around that time is a human being is flesh and bones, it's complexion and skin, it's the way you express yourself, so that's a human being. So that's what people had got to think at the time. So Qari Sahib Rahmatullah explained that Admiyat Juz Riza'e Dost Nest. What is being a human being? What it is to be a human being? So we have misconstrued the whole thing. We feel now he's got much and he looks nice, he speaks well, he earns well, so that's a perfect human being. So that's not the perfect human being. And then he said, elucidating the whole thing, that this is not the perfect human being. The perfect human being is the person who knows how to please Allah Ta'ala at any given moment. So not just pleasing Allah Ta'ala, but at any given moment, how do you please Allah Ta'ala? So that's the perfect human being. Now the subtle aspects of humanity unravels with time. You're going for a marriage, so puro to buharo luggage, puri buhari luggage. You see, now the boy looks very well, and you see, now the girl looks also very well. Now time begins to open up. All right, what we had seen, what we had known of, now what it is. It's two different stories. See, this humanity, this insaniyat, this thing comes up with time. Now, to explain this, what makes up a human being is the values. I have to give some bad incidents to make you understand what it is to be a human being and what goes against humanity. What it is to be a human being and man, and what goes against humanity. One person, I won't mention his name, and I won't mention his profession as well. Big professional person, very educated. So, you got married, and then when you educated the girl of your choice, then she must be also educated and she must also be moving. Alright, he said, alright, now you stay at home. Now the whole Ramadan passed, he's complaining, the whole Ramadan passed, and there was not a single dish that she prepared. No samosa, no savory, nothing, absolutely nothing. The only thing she prepared for the entire Ramadan, one evening, there was some aleem that was frozen. She got that out and she just microwaved the thing, yeah. That was what she served me. So I found it quite strange. I asked him, alright, but how did she pass the time? 24 hours and she's not doing nothing, no preparing of food, nothing, absolutely, because she's got everything. A servant to do the house and everything she's got. So, how did she spend the time? So, no, the whole time was just on the phone and whatever else. So, now do you call this a human being? Maybe you can call this a machine, but you can't call it a human being. So, it is something totally different to be a human being. What is pleasing to Allah Ta'ala at which time? To understand that. As Fatima Ardiana, she is now the exemplary woman, right? But now, in spite of being the exemplary woman, now look at her personal life. But Ali Ardiana is complaining now that she's doing so much of work, her dress is getting soiled. She sweeps the house. Right? Then she's pulling out the water out of the well, and as a result, she got marks on her shoulder. Right? Her hands are all blistered because of the heavy work that she is doing. Now, with all this happening, and when she is asking for a maid or for a slave woman to do the chores, the household chores, and the thing that is given to her is Tasbih Fatima. But she was the queen of Jannat, obviously. I'm sure a woman can't be anywhere close to her, right? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not find it against his reputation and izzat that my daughter, that is the queen of Jannah, must be doing this type of work. See, now this type of things, you need to understand, see where Rasulullah is coming from. What is he saying? Where is he taking the woman to? It's a battle of Uhud perhaps, and Rasulullah has sustained an injury somewhere. Right. So the bleeding is not stopping. But then Fatima comes to the rescue for some water and trying to clean the thing and stop the blood. So they see that the blood is not just stopping. So Fatima radiallahu anha burns some type of a straw mat or something. The ash is placed and that thing stops the bleeding. So on one side, she knows how to take care of the home. The second side is that a patient, how he must be treated, she's not getting excited. She's treating the patient. Umar radiallahu anhu, he's doing the patrol in Madinah Munawwara. He's the Amir al-Mu'mineen, right? So what's the Amir al-Mu'mineen? See, our picture of life is we're seeing the Queen of London, or how she poses for the photograph, how nice she looks. So, that is only good for the looks. For life is a different thing altogether. But that can't be an example. Why don't we put in our heads that can't be an example. It's only for the looks, nothing else. Not for work, or not for love, or for compassion, or for consideration. Nothing, absolutely nothing. If it's good, only for looks. So Umar radiallahu anhu is doing his patrols, and as he's doing his patrols, you can hear some sound of grief, pain, you know, groaning sound. So he inquires from the man that is around, the wife is in labor. Straight away he darts to Medina Munawwara, gets his wife, that is now the granddaughter of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, grand or the great granddaughter. Come and do the delivery at that part of the night. So she knows the first aid, what's to be done at which moment. She's not grumbling, hey, this type of work is not my cup of tea. What prompted me to say this thing here? I was at home just now, so the children are talking, see. Some of them may be 5 years, 6 years, whatever. So sometimes it's an oversight of the parents. So one child is saying to the other child, you know, now the 6 years, you keep them as masoom, right? They are sinless. But the one child is saying to the other child, see, if there is a need to clean the meat, etc., that I'll just give it to my mother. If I am big, you know, I'm big and married, then if there is a need to clean the meat, then I'll just give it to my mother and we'll do the rest. Now, alright, it's an infant at that age, will overlook what they say, right? But now, we can't allow the child to grow with that. Then there can be complications after that. And the complications can be very serious. It can be disastrous. A woman, a girl, has to be brought up for a feminine life, right? A man for a man's life. This one needs to be brought up, right? Although at a point of desperation, she must be strong as well. At a point of desperation, then she must be strong as well. Whether it was in Khandaq or whether it was in the battle of Khaybar, Asma radiallahu anha, and she's going with a knife. Where are you going to with that khanjar? Well, if I see any enemy, yeah, I'll stab him. So she's so strong and confident of herself. If I see a man that's an enemy, as a spy, I'll push him off. So perhaps she asked Hassan, you know, there's a spy that's going past. Just put him away. No, I'm not meant for that. Perhaps Hassan radiallahu anhu didn't have that type of determination. Alright, I'm going. I'll slit him off clean. But you see this determination, courage, strength, morale. Now, that's what has to be put into mankind. What's needed for that moment, that is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's needed for that moment. Now, to put yourself into it. Now, when you see his Bakra is right, then when I see what the youngster's behavior, then it's a little bit depressing. It's the youngster's behavior, right? The youngster's behavior in the Bakrid nowadays is just to see the show a bit. Where the ox is going, or it's going here, you're all running there. What we there for, just to show, see now how it's going. Is that what Bakrid is about? Right? To miss yourself, see what's the need, what has to be done, go and learn the thing. Sometimes you have to go and learn the skinning, sometimes the management, sometimes the slaughtering, sometimes whatever is required at that moment, miss yourself, do the work, learn the work. But this coming generation is not interested at all. If they're interested in the entertainment, well, at that farm there, cutting some bulls, let's go there. So that's the Bakra, just the fun and the entertainment. Go and do the thing. Mu'az is quite young, perhaps about 13, 14, right? He became the Alamun Nas bil Farida, right? Greatest Alim. Now he's young. He didn't think to himself that I'm going to be one day the Alamun Nas, greatest Alim I'll be on earth, right? So I must just be in the Kitab, nothing else. He didn't say that. Now he spotted an animal himself, 13, now he's skinning the thing. And Rasulullah is passing by, and he sees that Mu'az radiallahu anhu needs some direction in the skinning of the animal. He says, Tanaha, come one side, and Rasulullah shows himself, pulls up his sleeves perhaps, and shows him how to skin the animal. And the hadith is saying how his hand got concealed between the skin and the carcass, how it got concealed. Now, do we think like that? Now, in this day and age, what we need to know, what are the contemporary needs? In Rasulullah's zamana, it was the need of that time. Right? Now, what are the contemporary needs for a man to be able to venture, to be able to do things? How must he do things? Now you see the average youth, he's only good, the only thing that he's good in phone. That's the only thing that he's good. Ask him to do anything else, he can't do it. It's not within him to do it. And the father is spoiling him more. Oh, buy this thing here, there's progress in that. But do some work, be productive. What's the need of the time? Contemporary needs. I tell the youngsters, we have to teach this hadith here, Muaz the young. But the contemporary needs is, you must do a little bit of plumbing. Because say, it's a long weekend on a Friday, right? Starting Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And you got a problem. Now look for a plumber, right? Now your salary is basic, right? You're looking for a plumber at that time, but he's gonna bill you properly. Because it's overtime. What time, not supposed to be working, right? He's gonna bill you. Where are you gonna bring the money from? Now it's a basic thing, and you need to put up your sleeves. Do that thing. Attempt to think what's needed to be done. Basic thing. You have to live today, understand what's the problem, and go and sort that thing out. You'll only hear, oh, some story, some fantastic story. Hey, he made so much, such a big money he made in such short time. And he made such a big money in such short time. What is his taqdeed he will get? What is your taqdeed you will get? But the basic need has to be done by someone. Are you waiting for the chance to come? That you must walk into a shop and fill one form and the name must be announced, you know, oh, so and so, and you want this car. And really, you know, it sounds strange, but I asked one person, are you going to buy a car? I said, no, I'm waiting, some competition may come out, I'll fill that thing and I'll just win the car. But 1 year, 10,000 will get that thing. It's not a law, right? And the control is from above. Right? For one in 10,000, one in 100,000, he'll get that thing. Now, for that 1 in 100,000 chance, you want to be the lucky candidate. How will it happen? If it happened, very good for him. If it did happen, but life must carry on normal. What must you do at that time? Now, if you are productive, right, at that time, if you're in the neighborhood, there's a problem, there's a plumbing problem, you can go and sort it out. This, I say, contemporary needs. There's a problem, example, for the electrical, basic things, you can handle it. A little bit of the stove, a little of the electrical, you can handle the thing. The third thing is, a motor car, a little bit of the motor car, and what is the need at that time? Can you do it, right? Basic things, you're supposed to be doing it. So these three things are contemporary needs. Motor car, electrical, plumbing. Roll up your sleeves, help yourself, help others as well. You don't only help yourself, you're not only for yourself. You see this, what is an army, what is a human being? Jews reside dostness. Rasulullah, it wasn't his carcass, but then why did he have to go into Muaz's animal? It wasn't his. So no, each one for himself, and he must sort himself out. Did he have that attitude? No, come aside. Let me show you, let me teach you how to do it. See that. So you're good for yourself, and you're good for the surrounding. See, Rasulullah's style, you're good for yourself, and you're good for the surrounding. If you look into the Sahaba-e-Kiram style, like, see it's how we look at the Sahaba-e-Kiram. We got a modern mind, and we want the Sahaba-e-Kiram to fit into our modernity, obviously you're going wrong. You must just fit in the modernity. But if you look at the style, they're living, how was they living? The living, you'll find about 3-4 things very, very conspicuous, very clear. In the day, they're helping out. Muslim, non-Muslim, everybody they're helping out. That zamana, according to that zamana, what was the need of the time? So they'll need firewood, they'll need water. So they are going there, they are strangers in the land, right? They have to go, they're undertaking a journey, they are put up at a certain place for say 4 days, 5 days. But they're looking now, all right, what's the need in the neighborhood? They need some water, right? We'll go and fetch the water. They need some firewood, so we'll sort it out. They need someone is ailing or something, or we'll sort him out. The person was bitten by a snake or something, and there's nobody to treat, or we'll sort him out. But you see, what's the need of the time? The Sahaba Ikram are availing themselves for the need of the people around that time. Now, this relief, alhamdulillah, was a great operation. Alhamdulillah, I would say our Muslims are taking 100%, right, in that relief. But that relief is just one out of 50 things. What about the medical needs of people, etc.? And if all people learn all the basic thing, all right, just how we sort this person out, how do we sort that person out, how do we do this thing? I don't say we begin to behave like as though we are surgeons, but basic things we can sort it out. Alhamdulillah, in our neighborhood, there's quite a few Muslim families, right? I would say around that 100 meter area, there were 10 Muslim homes. There's others also, but very near, is about 10, 15. So one child was born more than 20 years ago. And I think it was a third degree burn. And there was a woman, I think from India, so I'll bring it here. And I think in 20 minutes, she sorted it out. No hospital, and after a couple of days, I think was healed. Another lady, right, the child fell from something or whatever, what had happened, and like approximately sprained the hand. I'll bring it to you. Now she knew exactly how to massage the hand to get it right. But you see, these basic things are supposed to be learned. Roll your sleeve, do something, and that's a human being. You can be for each other. Even some animals you'll find, they cooperate with each other in life, right? They stand for each other. You know, they talk about this buffalo that they go for shooting. What do you call it? African buffalo, right? But you see, they stand for each other. So a lion or anybody can't go for them. Why are they standing for each other? The security. We're not talking about security. Monkeys are the same. You see that they stand for each other. Right? Now, can't we do this type of things? Simple, basic things, security, to be of service to humanity. Alright? For the people that are immediate, then even more. But it doesn't mean that our service, our help, our relief is restricted to ourselves. And also, it is not restricted to a doctor. Basic things, people can do it. I showed a third degree burn, and that woman from India, she sorted it out. The child sprained the hand, she knew a little bit how to massage that hand or get it sorted out. No, the child must learn, go matric, and get a degree and all that, right? Alright? Nobody's stopping professionalism, right? But this basic human needs, I ask you, how are you going to sort it out? Whether you're living here, whether you're living abroad, but how are you going to sort it out? So, that child now, he learned all these things here, and he's an asset for that whole area. There's a problem though, this. He's an asset for the entire area. So these basic things, we need to learn and we need to teach. Now how nice it would be if some people, they arrange some small programs for youngsters, 12, 13, 14, 15, these basic things that I give them off, maybe on a Saturday, Sunday, let me teach you these things. So you taught 10 people, these 10 people are going to different areas. Now when they learn these things, basic things, then what an asset they are for that whole area. No, you must go to school and go to matric, and it's a long chakkar. It's a very long chakkar. You don't have to go through the whole process to be able to sustain yourself. Some of the wealthiest people in Durban are those that went to grade 8, grade 7, and Allah Pak makes them the wealthiest people. And one person is about the wealthiest person, right? Maybe the first 5, right? But I remember in school, he was failing all the time. All the time he was failing. Came to a maths paper, the teacher felt sorry for him. He gave him the paper one day in advance, 1-2 days, when he worked the whole thing out, this is the paper I'm going to send. In spite of that, he still failed. But yet, he's about the 5th wealthiest person in Durban. But how did it happen? That is with Allah Ta'ala, how he sorts who out. But when I say this basic thing, we need to learn the thing, learn, be an asset, be a service to that whole area. Rasulullah is doing it, right? Umar radiallahu anhu is doing it, his household is doing it, right? They're all doing it. When the madrasa started, right? 1980 somewhere, right? Started. So at that time we didn't have any cook. No cook, but we started one madrasa, right? We see, King of said, Allah will do the rest. That Iman Yaqeen talk was going very, very, very strong. And Allah Pak made it such that every day some household had a turn to do the food. Supper, lunch. The boys that studied that time said, hey, that home food we're missing. But you see, the ladies at that time, one lady, wealthy home, very wealthy home. Now they, you know, multi-millionaires, right? But I remember that time in the late 80s, one lady is preparing for 60 people, 80 people. She's preparing and preparing very well. And she doesn't need any outside assistance to prepare that meal. How they managed it? I asked her, how did they? They took the courage, they took the determination, they used the energies in the right direction. So when the time came about, they were able to do that. But now if they only put their mind on, learn how to read, look how a computer works and all that, they learn all these things, all right, very good. But then the basic needs of mankind, can they fulfill? Now forget the basic needs. Now they don't want to even cook on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Now you make life complicated. Every person can't afford it. See, now the style now is live separate and do your own thing. But also, in the living separate, the Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you mustn't be working. Now, how is the average person expected to sustain himself? Can he do it? You need to have that type of wealth to be able to live that type of a life. Then you don't have that type of wealth, what are you going to do? The husband will look at the wife will be crying, hey, we're suffering, we're going into a difficulty there. But up to this point, everything was working out very well. But now we took all these alien ideas, pushed into our lifestyle, and we want the thing to work, and then the girl is suffering, the husband is suffering, everybody is suffering. But we just bring back our original simple life, so many problems we have solved out. So we are talking about Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullahi, you know, and he started off the talk like this. That America has advanced and gone very far it's gone. Anything at a touch of a button, you just call and it happens. Right? And by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, India, alhamdulillah, they have excelled in producing men. Right? Because at that time, Sheikh Zakaria Ahmad is there, Hazrat Muhammad Siullah Sahib is there, Darul Jomani said he speak, right? Khanka is running, Madrasa, Dabil Madrasa is running and speak, full speed they're running, right? Tabligh Jamaat is very vibrant at that time. So, there were so many activities to create a real man. Jamaat work is going very well, at very great speed it's going. Tabligh activities are going, Madrasa, Khankas and things are running, right? So, men were being produced there at India. So, India, what they don't have, is they don't have technology at that level. Not that they don't have it at all, but the level that America has got is they don't have it. In America, what they don't have is men. They have the technology, machinery, etc., but they don't have the men. They don't know what it is to be a human being, because all their efforts was exerted in machinery, in technology, etc., and they lost track of themselves. So a human being is just a money-making machine or his technology, that's all. What he is? He's a money-making machine or he is about technology, that's all. So that human values were all removed from it. What it is to be a human being, that was removed. So what is reduced into a money-making machine? So what's your value? How much of money you can produce? What are you? How good you are in technology, that's your worth. And we are seeing something else. Is that values that have to be pushed into you. That's your value. When Jamaat went to America, so they give the Kalbusari, this was a state. Then they told us that there was one retired man from Bangladesh, so we had paid him a visit. So we paid him a visit, you see. So that old man began to cry. 67, 70, that was his age, he began to cry. So the Jamaat asked him, alright, you know, can we be of any service to you? Why are you crying? Why are you in this depressed state? Can we help you in any financially or anything? No, say, I don't need anything. Because all my sons are all professional people. Someone says, one is an advocate, one is a doctor, one is whatever. Well, they send me money. I got more than enough money. They gave me caregivers. But they don't come to see me. What I need is companionship. I have lost my wife. I'm living alone. They gave me caregivers and all that. But now, I need companionship. And they're not sharing their companionship with me. They'll come once in 3 years, and they'll pop in for 15 minutes on a Father's Day or something, put a Father's Day t-shirt. My father, or loving father, whatever, miss father. That's what they will do, and they go on after that. I don't need that money. What I need? I need love. I need a companionship. I need this, what I need. See, when our mind drifted from Allah Ta'ala, from deen, to money, then this is what money showed us, that this is what I will do for you. It won't give you love, it won't give you time, it won't give you affinity, nothing. Only notes, it will only give you notes. It will be hard, it will be cold, it won't give you that attention. So now, it's about time that we come back onto the cause. One person got married now, some days back. So he's telling me, now, I have to just separate. What happened? Well, she's a professional, she earns a lot of wealth, she's got everything, right? In whatever field, but she's specialized. So she's earning a lot of wealth. But I have to separate from her. Why must I separate? Because she's used to a very easy and a free life. Today she's talking to that man, tomorrow she's driving around with the other person. In private, they're meeting together. So I can't prove that they're doing anything wrong. But now that's a lifestyle. And that's a lifestyle now. I can't live with this. When I can't live with this, I'm thinking to myself that if she's so free, then she's going to be the mother of my children just now. Then what's my children going to be doing? So I don't think I'll manage this. Although she's volunteering to do the whole house, running everything. But life is not all about that only. Now I'm going to get children just now. Children are going to see how the mother is behaving. What's going to be their future? You see what it takes to make a human being. It's a different thing altogether. We have reduced this whole humanity to wealth, technology, and high flight. Right? Now, this humanity is something totally different, absolutely different. You know, there's a Kadwa family in Mzinta, where we come from, right? So let me just show you what it takes to be a human being. So it's more Usman, Zawad Barakatum, his parents, right? So they volunteer to take on one family, one woman, part of the family, maybe extended family. She's old, she's widowed, and she needs to be kept. So for the 10 years or so that she was sick, 10, 15 years, they volunteered to keep her. But now, the type of khidmat that they did, that is something to think about. 15, 20 years to keep a woman, and she's sickly, and they took the care of her. So, we had visited the home. When we were young, we visited the home. Right? But they would make it a point that the special food is prepared for that auntie that they are taking care of. It was not the auntie, some extended family, but the special that was prepared was for that auntie. Right? Can you see now what was their mind? So they were not circular educated. They didn't learn about school and all that, but they knew what was life all about. They knew values, they knew systems. And they learned the system because they were homemade. They were not outsourced. Now you know, outsource the child, give it to a modernity. So what the child feels life is all about dressing well, smart, having a smart shoe, having a smart dress. That's life all about. No, the child is taught the right values. So when the child is gone without school, the right values, now see how the child thinks. Up to now when I think about that, it was exceptional behavior. That it's their house, it's their hard work, but this woman that they are taking care of, she is getting the best food. Money was tight at that time. I know, talk about 60s, money was tight. I know in our own homes, you get a portion of butter, so much. So you must just do with it. You can't ask for more. Just that of butter, right? You have to live with it. That was in our own homes. So money was tight at that time. Right? So you're getting a ration. You can't even complain because there's no more. You complain about what? And to whom? Right? You can't complain to anybody and you can't complain about anything. Right? So at that time, this woman here that they're taking care of is getting an exceptional treatment. You see, this type of values, they are the things that last. It is not just about speaking well and having a twang in your speech. No, that's not about, that's not life. Life is something else. It's a deeper meaning to life. So just around that time, some guests had come in to see this old woman, a sickly one, like a sickly person, now people come and visit. So they came to visit her. And it was her meal time, so the tray of food was brought to her. And as the tray of food is brought, when a person comes a little bit old, they become a little senile, right? And when they become senile, then they'll say some things. Right? So she said something like, Imahu Burli Varche, what's the good in this food? Well, Isma's mother must have taken all the pain to do everything to her level, to the best of the ability, that asli ghee, pot pandar ghee, they put it in there. Now when it comes, and it's served to her, and what she's saying? Imahu Burli Varche. Never mind, they didn't say anything, not a word. They didn't pull up the face, absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing, they didn't say anything. I remember in our home, there was an old woman that we taken care of, right? So now, they'll become a little bit senile, they say something and all that, and if you just take it in the stride. So I had to explain some of my daughter at that time, but just do three things. One thing is, respect her. Respect her, show her love. Number two is make her comfortable. Number three, just ignore what she has to say. Absolutely, just ignore. They are that age, they'll say some things, they'll say things. Just ignore it, don't pay attention. And I told them, see, why must we be deprived of the sawab of the khidmat? Because of the one, two stupid statements. Statements are not right. Right? Although the statements are not right, but why must we be deprived? We would do the khidmat, get the sawab, leave the statement to her. But we get the khidmat, sawab, she'll make dua for us, and we won't lose out. Somehow it went very well. But you see, that old style, what was the thinking like? That was totally different. And now the thinking is totally different. What's there for me? What's in there for me? I did this, so what's in there for me? Is that the style? Is that the way? So this is just finished up, right? So she had her meals. As she had her meals, then she had to go to toilet. And I think just en route to toilet, she's old now, so she missed herself. Now Usman's Kadwa's mother, and now she heard all the speeches, right? But she had the heart to go pick her up, bathe her, wash her, and reclothe her without any frown on the face. So now the guests that are there, the guests are saying, hey, she said so much, and you didn't take exception to it. So all Usman's mother said, that either Doha Manasche, it's an old person now, they say something, is expected of them to say it. So what? So what's the big deal about it? But you see this old training, old style of thinking. And how the women, how they were trained, how they were disciplined. Amzinto was our home, and our holiday was in Randall's Road, right? So there was an old woman, I guess Sulaiman, she's late now, she must have lived to about 115 or something, she passed away. Because I'm Khan auntie. So we used to go and buy now, how children buy sweet chappies and all this stuff, we used to buy from her. So this woman here now look at this old, not school trained, nothing, absolutely nothing. But now look at that old style. Old style, how to run a house, how to make things work, how to see the children go straight. Now this woman here, right, suddenly now the husband received a letter that eviction, get out of the place. Now the husband is really depressed. Now we need to run the house, I've got such a big family, so many children. At that time, they're not putting 2, 3 and hum do hamare do, no, not like that. Putting 15 children, 20 children. How it was coming, how it was happening, Allah knows. Small little house, but 15, 20 children. It's multiplying like that, right? So, the wife noticed that the husband is a little bit of a depression. Because he got an eviction notice, and I need to run this home. I can't do the business. So when she saw that he's like that, right? Now she knew the husband, that he's hand to mouth and he doesn't know how to save. He doesn't know how to save. Now some people are, they don't know how to do it, right? So she told him, no, don't worry about it. How much money do you need to buy this thing? When start of business, how much? I need so many £1,000 or something. Alright? She took out her old pillowcase and that it was filled with gold coins. That time now, you know, 1940s, right? She pulled that thing out, don't buy that thing. You got the money. So no, your money, and I should save it up. I won't waste that money. It doesn't mean now that you got an allowance of 5,000 rand, and I would see to you that 5,000 rand is spent. No. I will keep something aside for the rainy day. Now today you're in a problem, alhamdulillah, take this thing here and buy that thing. But you see these values, the old original values, we lost that thing. You say, no, he's earning so much and he's earning that. He's going for that holiday and he's good. The original values, who's going to teach? Where are you going to learn? By teaching it, the person learns. And it's all practical things. It's practical things, day-to-day lifestyle. We can't guarantee what's a girl's future going to be. Can we guarantee? Just to make us understand, right? Are you getting a good proposal coming, right? So, the right thing, the right criterion, the standard is to see the person has got values or not. And there's a way how to see the values, right? Right. Not to see the financial security. Is to see how good the person is. That is the guideline. Right. When that guideline is right, that home will go right. Inshallah, with time, that home goes right. But that is, that husband must be trained like that. And when you accepting a proposal, you accept a proposal based on that. What is the value? How is he? Is he the right person? Is he the suitable person? Then just looking at the financial security. So now we're not looking at these things here, and we're just going in like that. So we're talking about that, Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and I'm just showing some examples, right? And how lifestyle was, how was it in the old days. Practical, do it, what's the need of the time, do it. My great dadi, when she came from India, she must have been about 16 years of age, right? She's married about 14, and she's already about 16, 17, and she came here, right? Now, you have to live in that in a farm, what they call Ghanas Koti, right? They have to live there. And Muslims are sparsely populated, right? Now, one family in the midst of a jungle, nobody around them is only blacks, there's one family living there. So in the meanwhile, now, Brahma and all that, so if there's any Muslim need, then they will see to it. Now, my great dada, he received a phone, that so-and-so person passed away, perhaps in Brahma or something, right? Woman passed away. So he's telling my great dadi, Fatima, get ready. Come, we're going. What? Give him ghusl. But I never did it. Just take the best he's ever come. So at that time it was such, the man says once, and that was the order, instruction, and you go in. Because I see they weren't school educated. They were homemade. And the homemade taught them that make it happen. However, you're going to do something and you're going to make it happen. But I couldn't understand now where my great dada came from. There's nobody to do it now. And you say also you can't do it. What are they going to do with that mayat? Fatima, come. They put him on that ox cart or the horse cart. Now she's got the dresses ever. And she's doing the ghusl. After that, any ghusl, and she's doing it. But you see how they were made. These are the values. What's the need of that time? Roll your sleeves up and do the work. You can't be a queen all your life. All your life, you just have to make yourself smart, go to the beautician and here and there, everywhere. That was not our life. What are you going to do with the beauty? After some time, what are you going to do with the beauty? It's how productive you are, what you're going to teach and pass on to your children, how well you do the kitchen, how well you look after your husband. These are the things that you're going to look at. Right? Now, if the child is trained, all right, if the maid is not around, let's do something. Let's do it. Let's make it happen. You'll iron, I'll wash the dishes, you'll do something else. But they're making the house run. Well, the maid is not here, we can't do anything. Wait for the person to come. How is it going to run? How is it going to run? You see these values. Man, she's getting insulted, but for her to accomplish all her duties, right, it takes a lot of courage and willpower. That you hurt so much, but only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, you did what you're supposed to be doing. No pulling up of face, no frowning, absolutely no hurt. But who can do these things here? See, values. True values. Now when we moved away, then we complicated our lives. I just want to show you how we're complicating our lives. Some last year or the year before last, I was in Hawick. You know? So they're telling me now that this old age homes, one of the best in the country, is in Hawick. So met some of the people there. So I just spoke about the old age. You get some ideas. When you speak to people and you get the ideas, we can introduce in our own thing. So whilst I'm speaking to the person, so they say, don't talk about this life, this circular white life, don't talk about it. I said, what happened? He says, no, there's an old man here, about 18, 85, and about 2 months ago, he was going down, right? So one child is in Australia, the other is in America. He's an attorney something, and he's an engineer something, she's an engineer, right? So the man who's seeing is going down, so he phoned up his children that, can you come here at least for a week, 2 weeks? I'm really pining to see you. I didn't see you for 10 years. So they just ignored the man totally. Totally ignored him. He's feeling hurt. He's telling my friend that this is what's happened to me. In 3 weeks or so that he died, so they informed the children that are living, alright, just tell the undertaker to sort him out. What's the cost? We'll sort you out. So that's the cold life that they live. But now we're looking at their lives and we're imitating them. لَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ كَفُرُوا. The Quran says, but don't be like these kafirs. Their thinking is different, their ways are different, their mannerisms are different, everything is different. Totally different. I know of a woman in Zinto, right? Because we came from that side, so we know the people on that side. The man, she's coming from a wealthy background. Husband is not so well, he's still coming up. Now there's absolutely no food in the house. In the meanwhile, the girl's mother got to know that there's no food in the house. So, like we have it every second month, third month, they'll come to the mother's place. But the mother is saying, but I hear you got no food. There's nothing like that. The only thing they had was millimeter, nothing else. So with that millimeter they made something, and some of the leaves that in the wild, they made some type of a burji, you know? Like how you have methi burji, or made some burji, and that's the meal for the day. And she's quite comfortable, relaxed. Now imagine how good the mother would have felt that my daughter is well. And the husband felt that he is respected, also protected and guarded. Now had she leaked it out that this is what, how we were living, how would the mother have felt? How would the husband have felt? All would have been devastated. But now how to make that house work? You know what Allah Pak wants at that moment? Sure, contentment, sure that you're alright, comfortable, but a little bit difficulty here and there. It's not a train smash. But you see that these right values, these true right values, correct values, and I say the values will be learned and will be taught. Will be learned by us and will be taught by us. It doesn't just come naturally. The mother or the head of the house, we need to think, alright, this is a girl that we bring up. This is a man that we bring up. Right. Then that man must be prepared for his life. And this woman must be prepared for her life. How will it happen? See, if it's just about money, then you'll confuse and complicate things. One friend of mine, in fact, accountant. So, now he's married to a wealthy family. Now he's starting off in life. So when you're starting off, it's a little bit difficult. You don't just get, you don't just start flying there. So you have it a little bit difficult. And then you're working for a company, and then you're bound by their laws, their ways, etc. So the girl's family is wealthy, they offer to take their daughter for Umrah. 1 month safar, they're going to take her. They're gone. Now in the next week, the accountant is coming here and complaining to me that I'm in this predicament, right? That we're working in a corporate environment, and everything is free for everybody. You're talking to a girl, they're talking to you, and they're offering you, all, let's go and have breakfast together, we'll go to this, my diners or whatever, we'll go. So he's complaining to me. I said, but you take the next flight, you go join them. Even if there's a cut in your salary, whatever it is, just stop that and you go. He went and he came back with all smiles. He says to me two things. He says, you know, I was at the point of zina. He's young, got into the marriage, and that's an environment. They're enticing, they're attracting him. Right? He's now, the style is that you live alone. His father, his parents are in Johannesburg. He can't go travel every day. Right? No company. He's all alone in the flat. And they're enticing him that side. Right? So what's going to happen to this person? Are we practical? Are we thinking of what's going to happen to this youngster? He needs companionship. He needs someone until he's strong, steady, etc. That's a different thing. But now, they're gone. They thought about their child. But that son-in-law, then if he falls into some wrong, then they'll go and paint his name, brush his name everywhere, the whole world. Yeah, he did this and he did this, therefore we have to call it off. But you see who led to this problem, who caused and who was the cause of this thing here. Are we seeing it in perspective? Or are we seeing it from just one narrow angle we're looking at? See, admiyat, lahmo, chashmo, postness. It's not just about the looks, not just about the complexion, not just about the profession. Not about the reputation. What is it about? Juz rizaya dostness. It is just about pleasing Allah Ta'ala. But then you have to learn at which moment how to please Allah Ta'ala. Which moment and at which moment how to please Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That's the thing to learn. Look at that. Salama ibn Aqwa, right? I think the right pronunciation is Salama. What Yusuf was showing me. Yusuf Mullah. But Salima comes only two places. It's not a... Are we using it? It's only two places where Salama is used. Right? Salima is used. So Salama ibn Aqwa radiyallahu anhu, right? He's about 12, 13. That's the age, right? And he can see now, he's coming out from the wilderness, coming this side to Medina, and he can see that in the outside, the herd of camels are being attacked. Right? So he has to act very sharp, because this is a distance. We haven't seen the spot, you know. We went and seen the spot. So this is about, say, 12 kilometers from Medina Munawwara. So our friend, Kaka or something, I think, he took us to the spot. So he had to act very sharp. So on the one end, he shouted to Medina Munawwara, Ya Sabaha, help! See the youngster, 13. But he's trained. And in an emergency, what are you supposed to be doing? How do you handle a situation? A man's life is a man's life. What are you supposed to be doing? Hundreds of camels are there. All are going to be looted. So many people are going to be losing out. So he's shouting that side. Then he started giving chase to these people here. And he's releasing his arrow one after the other. They got so frightened, all what they had looted, they just dropped. Whatever they had looted, everything they dropped. And he's still giving them the chase. But you see, one person, and as now he's shooting and releasing his arrows, some thought came to their minds. Who are you? You know, you're giving us the chase, but who are you? They felt a little bit skeptical. Said, you know me, you're talking about me. I'm Salama ibn Akwa, by Allah. You know, if I aim for any of you, I won't miss. And you can never get me. So they got scared now. Because they thought it's a whole group of people coming up. They had to act so fast. Shout this side also, give a warning call this side, and give chase to these people as well. Until all that camel were recovered. But one person could do it 13, 14 years of age. Now you tell a man 25 years of age today, can he do that? Give him a 10 year or 12 year lead, right? Can one person do it? But the man did it. Now that's values, imparting values. How you do you go about doing it? Now, just relaxing, lazying, eating, brying and all that. Well, you'll become a bry. You'll become a bry, like, you know, this Khaja Mazzub Salam says, talk about education and all that, he says. So what is this? Muhazzab pet, a dignified stomach. The word he uses is dignified stomach, right? Not Khaja Mazzub. It's Akbar Allahabadi. He said, what? He said, Muhazzab pet, dignified stomach. How to get money with dignity. Office phoning here, writing some document here, one signature there. Commissioner of Oaths. Not to get you, sir. Don't you? See, that's not life. Really, we have lost the whole plot, the whole plan we have lost. So we need to just adjust this whole thing. What is real life? Understand that. Be men, go into the field and work. Work it out. And you see, it's so fulfilling, it's so satisfying. Imagine now someone had a serious pain and you knew how to adjust the thing. In 5 minutes you sorted the person out. How nice don't you feel? The man was in pain. Alhamdulillah, I brought some solution to you. I brought some good to him. Don't you feel nice? Don't you feel relaxed? Don't you feel comfortable? So this is called Admiyat. But Qaytiyab Sahib Rahmatullahi, he ended the talk now. So he had some humor as well and very wise. So he says, let's do a fair exchange, right? You will pass the technology to us and we'll provide you the men. Because you don't have men, you have technology and machinery, but you don't have men. So we'll provide you the men. Men will get into the technology, so they will have technology, but the lifestyle will be right. And we don't have technology and science, etc. So you provide the science and technology to us, so we have men and we have that. So both of us will be benefiting and cooperating with each other. Isn't it a beautiful style? 1976 somewhere, Qaisab Rahmatullahi had given the speech. Darul Diyoban, after Asar. See that life. What can I do for the next person? What can I do at this moment? What's required? And what should I be doing? That was the style of a Muslim. That's how he thought. That's how he worked. At any given time. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, see this bravery, strength, to be able to do things. They're not allowing depression to come near them. No depression, nothing. There's a big sound, like a big blast in one end, right? So people got up with a panic and they're moving, still moving, are preparing to go to that end. In the meanwhile, they see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam returning with a sword around his neck, bareback. And he's returning, and he says, nothing to be afraid about. I went and checked the whole thing out, and inna wajadnahu la bahra. This animal here, this horse, this is like an ocean, the way it moves. It was so smooth and it's running. But you see, a man's life. What is a man's life? What a man is supposed to be doing? You don't talk, you don't praise a man. He's so nice, and he can make so much of marinate and brisket, and that's not a man then. But we think that man is like, he eats rice so well, and he can eat so much, and so much cocaine, push knife, he's a man. We've mistaken the whole thing. The whole thing we've mistaken. That's not a man. who can make things happen. In a worst type of scenario, he can make it happen. He can do it. My ustad, I won't mention his name, right? For convenience. But a seer man, what it is. So he says that his one relative, right? He got robbed for his estate, right? So he had a couple of good millions, right? But they didn't give it to him. So he said, Alhamdulillah, he didn't have a frown on the face. He didn't squeal, he didn't fight, he didn't take it up. Right? He worked for Allah, made him wealthier than the rest. But how Allah Ta'ala remunerated him? Now one is now, they robbed me for my share of the estate. I must fight them, go to court and get my share. I don't say it's wrong. It's right. So for the family interest, I'll just tolerate, forgive this poor, carry on. So Allah Ta'ala recompensed him. But then how Allah Ta'ala rewarded him? See this determination, not just remaining in the corner and crying, working, exerting yourself. So Allah Ta'ala rewarded him like this, that about a year or so before he could pass away, he saw Rasulullah was in life, real. And he said that the picture was so beautiful that I saw Rasulullah in life. Not while I was sleeping, not in my dream, not in a trance. Real. Like how Lama Suyuti saw Rasulullah about 17 times or 7 times. Life. He saw Rasulullah in life. So after that, every fikr is gone. The taste for the dunya was lost. His whole motivation, drive is hereafter. How must I prepare myself? But you see a man, what it takes to be a man. Sometimes you have to go to court, etc. But then how do you behave yourself? As the Shaykh Hamdullah says, you see a plug of values. What is a human value? Let me understand my words.